Well, good evening, and thank you all for coming along to the Gospel meeting tonight. It's good to see everyone here, and it's very nice to be here in Leven as well. Now, the reason that I've come here tonight is just to tell you very simply the good news of the Gospel, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Sinners like me, and sinners like you. My story, for those of you who don't know me, which I think is pretty much everyone, is that I myself got saved and became a Christian as a 9-year-old boy. I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that happened on a Sunday evening after a gospel meeting like this, some 16 years ago now. And I can tell you from my personal experience that the Lord Jesus Christ has changed my life. He has given me a better life. And he has given me eternal life. He's given me everything when I deserve nothing. He's given me life when I deserve death. He's given me heaven when I deserve hell. And let me tell you this, if you don't know already for yourselves, there is nothing better and there is nothing more important in this world and in this life than being saved. Than knowing your sins are forgiven and knowing that you're on a road which will lead ultimately one day to heaven for all eternity. I wonder if we can turn in our Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 23 together. We're just going to read the one verse from the Bible at the opening of our meeting this evening, and we'll refer to a number of other verses as we go along. So Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says this: "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now this evening I'd like to split this verse down into three sections, and we're going to look at each section in turn under a different heading. First of all, we want to consider, for the wages of sin is death. And we're going to think of that under the heading, the problem. Then we'll move on and we'll think of, the gift of God is eternal life. And we're going to think of that under the heading of the promise. And then finally, we'll think of, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we'll think of that as being the person. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, let's come to the opening section of our verse this evening. For the wages of sin is death, and we're going to think of that as the problem. I'm sure you'll agree with me that our world that we live in is full of problems. Everywhere we look, everywhere we turn, everywhere we go, our world is full of problems. At every level that we look at our world, it's full of problems. So we could think, perhaps, of a global level. And on that level, our world is full of problems. You could think of huge problems such as climate change, a huge environmental problem. Poverty, a huge social problem. War, a huge political problem. And so globally, there are huge problems that we face. But then you can come down to the next level, and you could think about nationally. And I'm sure as you look around our country, you can see that there are many problems in the UK. You might think of the credit crunch, the financial crisis, unemployment, debt, drugs. And I'm sure you could add more to that list as well. But nationally, there are a lot of problems. And then you could come down even further to look at personally, or individually. And I'm sure when you look at your own life and the lives of people round about you, you can see that they're full of problems as well. Perhaps financial problems. Perhaps family problems. Perhaps problems associated with friends. Perhaps physical problems associated with illness and disease and weakness. But everywhere we look, there are problems. At every level, whether it be globally, whether it be nationally, whether it be personally or individually, our world is full of problems. But tonight, God wants you to be aware of your biggest problem. A problem that the Bible describes. A problem that God describes as sin. A small word, but a big problem. The wages of sin is death. God is telling us just how serious this problem is. God is telling us in this verse that the wages, the payment, the reward, the end result, the outcome, what we will receive, what we deserve for our sin is death. The wages of our sin is death. The payment for our sin is death. The reward for our sin is death. The end result of our sin is death. The outcome of our sin is death. What we will receive for our sin is death. What we deserve for our sin is death. It sounds serious. It sounds like a big problem. It sounds like something that we should all be doing something about. You're unsure if someone told you, if the doctor told you, for example, that you were dying because of a specific illness or disease. You would sit up and pay attention. You would take them seriously. You would listen carefully. You would find out exactly what the problem was, what the disease or illness was, and you would look for the cure. You'd look for the answer, for the solution. You would do everything that you could to solve the problem, to cure the disease, so that you could live and not die. The wages of sin is death. God is warning you that the wages, the result of your sin, will be death. I wonder, have you done anything about it? I wonder, are you taking God's warning seriously? Well, let's rewind a little bit and go back to basics for a couple of minutes and just remind ourselves of what this problem of sin actually is. We realise that it is a serious problem because it will lead to death. But what actually is this problem of sin? Well, the most simple way that I can think to explain sin is really that sin is all the wrong things that we do, all the wrong things that we say, and all the wrong things that we think about. Sin is falling short of God's standard of holiness and perfection. Sin is breaking God's rules, whether that be on purpose or even by accident. You know, the Ten Commandments that we have in the Bible are just some of God's rules, and perhaps we know some of them or all of them off by heart, and we can go down the list, and we can look at all the ones that we've broken, and we can tick them off. Broken that one. Broken that one. Broken that one. And when we're faced with God's rules, God's commands, and God's standards, we see very clearly that we break God's rules, that we fall short of God's standard, because we sin, because we are all sinners. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us God's assessment on all mankind. It tells us what God says about us. It says there, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For all have sinned. And you know that's very true. And we can see that around us as well. Everywhere we look, everywhere we turn, we see sin. We see it in our newspapers. We see it on our televisions. We see it at work. We see it at school. We see it at college, at university. We see it in our own homes. We see it in the lives of people around about us. We see it every time that we look in the mirror and look into our own lives, because sin stares back at us. We are physically unable to reach God's standards because we have a sinful nature. We don't need to be taught how to sin. It comes naturally to us. Let me ask you, did your parents ever sit you down and teach you how to be bad? Did your parents ever sit you down and tell you, "Right son, this is how you tell lies. This is how you get jealous. This is how you get angry." Of course they didn't. They didn't need to do these things because we knew how to do them automatically, because we have a sinful nature. You see, we're all born as little sinners. And some of us, as we grow up, will stay fairly little sinners. Others of us, as we grow up, become big, bad sinners. But it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter whether we're little sinners or whether we're big, bad sinners, because God says, all have sinned. And there is no difference. God says that we are all sinners. Every one of us. I wonder, do you agree with God? Do you agree with God's assessment of all mankind? Do you agree with what God says about you, that you are a sinner? You might think that sin isn't a big thing for you. You might think that you are just a little sinner. Well, let me say this. If you were to live a perfect life from birth to death and only ever commit one sin, just one sin, you would still be a sinner. You would still fall short of God's standard of holiness and perfection. And the wages of sin is death. Our verse tells us that the outcome of our sin is death. And the verse isn't just speaking about physical death. It means more than that. Our verse is talking about eternal death. Because the Bible makes it very clear that there is a never-ending eternity to come after we finish our lives on earth. Our Bible also makes it very clear that God is holy. And God cannot be in the presence of sin. God hates sin. He detests sin. And so sin cannot be in heaven. More than that, our Bibles also make it very clear that God is righteous. And so sin must be judged. Sin must be punished. And that will take place in hell. What will hell be like? Our Bibles tell us that hell will be a terrible place. A horrific, horrendous, awful place of pain, suffering, torture, and punishment for sin. Revelation chapter 20 verse 15 says this: whosoever was not found written in the book of life, that means anyone who is not saved, anyone who has not had their sins forgiven, was cast into the lake of fire. Was cast into the lake of fire. That's a real place that the Bible tells us about. The lake of fire. I wonder, can you picture, can you imagine the horror and the terror of that place? The lake of fire. I wonder if there's anyone in our meeting this evening and you are still on a road which will lead ultimately one day to that place. The wages of sin is death. Now let's move on to our second section this evening. Our verse goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life. And we can think of that under the heading, the promise. You see, it's not all doom and gloom. It's not all death and hell. The gospel message is good news. It's good news. There is the warning that the wages of sin is death. God gives the warning, but God then gives the answer. God gives the solution. The gift of God is eternal life. There is life available. A solution, a cure, an answer to the problem of sin. God's plan of salvation is available to you. Because God promises the gift of eternal life to those who trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for salvation. What has God done to provide a solution to sin? Well, John chapter 3 verse 16, perhaps the best known verse in our Bibles, summarises it very well. It says there, for God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever, that's you and me again, believeth on him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ again, should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to die on the cross at Calvary as a sacrifice for our sins. He was perfect. He was sinless. He took our sin. He was punished for our sin. He took the punishment that he never deserved, so that we could be spared the punishment that we do deserve. And through the great sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, God now offers this gift of eternal life to every person in the world. The gift of God is eternal life. This gift from God is free for us to receive. But to the giver God, there's a great cost involved. He paid the ultimate price. God gave his only Son. And God had to look on as his only son was taken and falsely accused and sentenced to death by crucifixion. And God looked on as his only son was beaten, as his only son had the hair ripped from his face, as his only son was spat on, as his only son was mocked, as his only son had a crown of thorns pressed into his brow, as his only son had nails hammered through his hands and through his feet. And God had to look on as his only son hung there in agony, shedding his precious blood so that we could be saved. Can you imagine that? A father watching his only son go through all of these things. The reason that the Lord Jesus Christ willingly went through all of these things was because he loves you. The Apostle Paul could describe the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. His love was shown in what he gave. He gave himself. He gave his all. He gave his everything. Such was his great love towards us. And you know, that's all the more amazing when we think about what we are. We are sinners. We are nobodies. We are nothing. We are enemies of God. Our sins are disgusting and evil in his sight. But despite all of this, God loves us. And Christ died for us. But Christ died for us isn't the end. Christ died for us, but he rose again on the third day. And he has gained a victory over death and over sin. He lives, and he offers us eternal life, free of charge. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to do anything to achieve it, because Christ has done it all. All that we have to do is accept what he has already done. Accept the gift of God by looking to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and believing on him. The gift of God is eternal life. You see, the gift of God is more than just a solution to the problem of sin. It's more than just a way out of the consequences of sin. It's more than just a way out of death and hell for eternity. It's much more than that. The gift of God is eternal life, everlasting life, never-ending life in heaven with Christ. In heaven with Christ. You know, we've already noticed that our world is full of problems. There will be no problems in heaven. And we've already noticed that our world is full of sin. There will be no sin in heaven. Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 paints a lovely picture of what heaven will be like. It says there, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What an amazing place heaven is going to be. And I hope that every person in this hall tonight is on a road which is leading to that place one day. So the gift of God is eternal life, and it's available to every one of us. But the Lord Jesus Christ won't force his way into your life. He is waiting for you to receive him, for you to accept him, for you to invite him in. And he is standing at the door of your heart, at the door of your life, and with nail-pierced hands, he is knocking. I wonder, will you open up and let him in? Will you open up and let him in to change your life, Will you open up and let him in to save your soul? The gift of God is eternal life. Now on to our final section. The verse goes on. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we want to think of this as being the person. The Bible says that it is only through believing on God's sinless, perfect Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the work that he has done on the cross of Calvary, that you can be saved and have eternal life. That's a bit of an alien concept to our world, because men and women all around us are trying to find eternal life, are trying to secure a place in heaven, and they're trying many different things, and they're trying many different ways, and they're trying many different religions, but very few of them are just simply looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I can tell you tonight, on the authority of God's Word, the Bible, that there is no other way to be saved except through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. All other ways are doomed to failure. No other way is acceptable to God. All other ways lead to death and hell and the lake of fire. John chapter 14 verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through me." What are you doing to try and obtain eternal life? What are you doing to try and gain a place in heaven? You know, the things that people round about us are trying will never be enough. The things that people round about us are trying cannot forgive sin. And if you want eternal life, and if you want to be in heaven, you need your sins forgiven. And so you could attend a church service every Sunday night for the rest of your life, and it won't be enough, because it won't forgive your sin. And you could give all your money to good causes, but it won't be enough, because it won't forgive your sin. And you could try your best to be a good person and nice to everyone else, but it won't be enough, because it won't forgive your sin. And you could even read your Bible and pray every single day, and even that wouldn't be enough, because it won't forgive your sin. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31 tells us very, very simply what we must do if we want to be saved. What we must do if we want to have eternal life. What we must do if we want to be in heaven. It says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It doesn't say, go to church services and you'll be saved. It doesn't say, give all your money to charity and you'll be saved. It doesn't say, try your best to be a good person and you'll be saved. It doesn't even say, read your Bible and pray every day and you'll be saved. Just very simply, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And so salvation is available to everyone, right now. But it is only available through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, just a couple of final things, and then I'll be finished. Just in closing, I picked up a piece of advice regarding preaching a wee while ago. I can't remember whether I read this somewhere or whether I heard it in a message or whether somebody told me it. But the piece of advice said this: preach simply as if it's their first time hearing the message. And that's the great thing about the gospel. It's a simple message. You don't need a degree to get saved. You don't need to be some kind of intellectual genius to get saved. It's very simple. You just look to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him and you're saved. And so I hope tonight that the message has been clear and it's been simple. But the piece of advice doesn't end there. It goes on. Preach simply as if it's their first time hearing the message. And preach with solemnity as if it's their last time hearing the message. And you may think that tonight the message has all been a little bit serious. Well, I make no apologies for that, because it's a serious subject that we're talking about this evening. And the outcome of your decision is very serious. Your destination for the whole of eternity is at stake here. And it doesn't get any more serious than that. This could be the last time that I ever preach the gospel message. This could be the last time that you ever hear the gospel message. This could be the last time that you ever hear the Lord Jesus Christ knocking on the door of your life, asking you to let him in to save you. Don't delay. Don't be too late. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Last Monday night, three young men who were in my year at school died in a tragic car accident. Three young men, 25 years old, out into eternity. Out into a lost eternity. Unexpectedly. No thoughts that death was just around the corner. No thoughts of eternity. No thoughts of the judgment to come. No thoughts of God's offer of salvation. And now it's too late. And now their opportunity is gone. I say to you tonight, don't you be too late. Preach with solemnity as if it's their last time hearing the message. And I hope tonight that if you're not saved, you feel the seriousness, the urgency, and the challenge of the message this evening. Very simply tonight, I have explained to you that the Bible says you need to be saved because the wages of sin is death. And very simply, I've explained to you that you can be saved because the gift of God is eternal life. And very simply, I've explained to you how you can be saved through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now let's pray and the meeting is over. Our Father, we come into your presence again this evening and we just give you thanks that we've been able to bring the gospel message to people again this evening. We give you thanks for the good news of the gospel, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. We pray that if there's anyone here tonight who is not yet saved, that they would realise their need of a saviour and they would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and put their faith and trust in him and be saved tonight. We just ask all these things now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.